Into hour number three. Welcome to the program. Welcome back. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. You know the deal. I am live. I'm in SoCal. I'm in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Telephone number is toll free. You know the number is good wherever you are. It's good in the U.S. It's good in Canada. No matter where you are, 1-800-636-8686. We're talking about the NFL draft. Another draft prospect coming up before the end of the hour. Right now, though, let's talk association. We are joined by an NBA analyst. He played his college ball at UNLV and Arizona State. He spent more than five seasons in the NBA in both video and as an assistant. He is co-host of the Dunker Spot podcast. He is Steve Jones Jr. Steve, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm good. I'm hoping that everyone is well. I'm happy to be here.
You know what? I can't speak for everyone, but I think most people are well, and it's great to have you here. All right, so let me start first, Steve, with the Suns and the Knicks, because they played last night. If I had said to you before the season that the Knicks would be playing meaningful and important games in late April and battling for a top four seed in the East, what would you have said?
I wouldn't have said anything. I would have laughed at you.
Right.
But that's the turnaround they've made, and credit to Coach Tibbs for getting that buy-in from that group of guys, and credit to Julius Randle for taking the leaps that he's made as a star. I mean, not just being an all-star, but being someone who is consistently scoring, hitting threes, step backs. People are waiting for the shoe to fall, but he's been great all season long. And I think this is a team that buys into what they're doing, plays hard on both ends, grinds you offensively, gets after you defensively, and they've bought in and put themselves at a level to compete and potentially make some noise in the playoffs.
Steve Jones Jr., my guest, you know, you answered my next question. I was going to say, when you watch them, what do you see? And I think the answer to that. But in terms of the Knicks, it seems like also, Steve, they've got a pretty strong identity. How important is it to have that strong identity? And then how significant is it once you get to the postseason?
It's very important. I mean, we talk about the beauty of the game now, but it's kind of a copycat league. A lot of teams want to play in similar ways, play in similar fashions. This is a team that knows who they are. They know what they can do. They know what they can't do. And they just focus on what they can do and get after it. And that's kind of why I enjoy watching them play in this age of NBA basketball. It's going to carry them through the playoffs, because that kind of defensive mindset, that kind of ability to attack a superstar defensively, that can have success in the playoffs. And offensively, you're going to have their challenges, but teams are going to try and take your good stuff away anyways. If you know what you have to do to get and create opportunities, it's going to give you a shot to contend.
Steve Jones Jr., NBA analyst, joining us. Now, Miami Heat fans got pretty worked up when you predicted that if the Knicks get that fourth seed, they will advance in the postseason. What made you feel that way, and then what do you make of the reaction from Heat fans?
Well, the reaction was funny, because I was really talking about the Hawks and the Celtics.
Yeah.
But they got super mad, which is okay. I get it. Because I actually don't like the Knicks matchup with Miami. That's a whole different story. The reason why I would say the Knicks, if they can get that 4-5 matchup, have a shot to get to the next round is, again, because of their ability to defend, their ability to score. I don't like their matchup with the top three seeds in the East. I think they could be a tough out, but I don't think they have enough offense to beat Brooklyn. I don't think they have enough size and length to beat Philadelphia. I would be interested in seeing them play Milwaukee, but that's usually an unpopular opinion for me. So I think for them to make the noise that they could make with this team, it has to be in that 4-5 matchup. But I think with the defense that they bring and that game plan defense for superstars, they got a shot in the first round of that 4-5 matchup.
Steve Jones Jr. joining us. Steve, so go back to the Heat for a minute. What do you make of the fact that they went to the finals last year, but they're currently two games over 500 and they're sitting in the number 7 hole in the East as of today? When you look at them, what do you see?
Well, I see a team that's still trying to find itself. Whether it's injuries, whether it's health and safety protocols, they haven't necessarily been able to put together the same lineups, make the same run they had last year. Obviously, when you make Victor Oladipo, that's to raise your ceiling, but his injury is also taking you back to the team that you were. So it's an interesting dynamic where Miami has the ability to still make that run and cause problems for teams, but they are who they are. You know, there's a low margin of error for this team. They need X, Y, and Z to happen. So defensively, they have to get after you and get stops. Offensively, they have to be hitting shots. If one of those two doesn't happen, they find themselves in a tough game, and it's a coin flip, which is why they're only a couple games over 500. So it's a team that you should still believe in, but you can also see exactly what's holding them back.
Steve Jones Jr. joining us. All right, so the Lakers, Steve, beat Orlando last night. They snap a three-game losing streak. AD went 18-8. LeBron is expected back at some point. So when you look at the Lakers, I mean, do they, because they're the Lakers, do they need to get everybody on the court and get some time together, or can they just flip the switch and go?
I would say you want to see LeBron get on the court before the playoffs, but he's LeBron, so you can figure that out. I think getting Anthony Davis back is key, especially to give him some minutes with Andre Drummond. I'm still not concerned with the Lakers as far as the run goes because they are matchup proof. They've shown enough over the course of the year that you can believe in what they can do in the playoffs defensively. They haven't lost a beat even without those guys, which is a key piece coming in towards the playoffs. And then offensively, you're still going to have Anthony Davis. You're still going to have LeBron James, and that's still going to cause teams issues. So you still have those two. You still have the defense. They have an ability to still make that championship run.
All right, so what about the Nets? If you're not concerned about the Lakers as much, would you be more concerned about the Nets? I mean, they've got that talent, but that talent has not spent much time together on the floor. And then you got James Harden going back to square one. Do they need time together before the postseason, or can they put this thing together somehow on the fly?
I think they can still put it together just because of the mindset they've shown this season. I mean, we think about the top three, the super team type talent, but they have a mindset that's a little bit different. They're self-aware as far as over the season knowing, hey, we need to get better defensively to get to where we want to go. I mean, you have a situation where Steve Nash is asking KD if he wants to come off the bench or start. That speaks volumes to the culture. I think the Nets are in a position to still be okay. Now, obviously, you want to see those three together. You want to be able to work out some of the kinks lineup-wise, fourth quarter-wise, close game-wise. But having those three is still going to be an issue for teams to deal with in fourth quarters and close games and playoff series. And even without having them the entire season, I think they've only played seven games, you're still the top team in the East. So it's hard to feel, you know, too bad about what you're doing.
We're talking to Steve Jones Jr. for a few more moments. Steve, at the top of the interview, I asked you about the Suns and the Knicks. Let me ask you about the Suns specifically. We're talking about a team now that won 19 games in 2019. They averaged less than 23 wins the three seasons prior. Then they have that breakout in the bubble last year. What do you make of how much this team has changed with the arrival of Monty Williams before last season and then Chris Paul before this year?
Well, you know, I think you have to give a tip of the cap to Monty Williams for bringing that mindset, bringing the ability to have those guys believe in what they're trying to do, get the effort and attack defensively, score offensively. Then you add Chris Paul to that, and now they're off to the races. You know, this is a team that believes in what they're doing. They got the lineup versatility. They have the ability to execute in the half court, get after you defensively. Those are things that will translate in the playoffs. So I'm a firm believer in what Monty's done in Phoenix. I think with Chris Paul's veteran presence, his ability to close games, his ability to operate the offense and make sure everyone's in the right spot, it's really helped Phoenix take it to another level.
So, Steve, your father, Steve Snapper Jones, was an ABA All-Star. He was a beloved NBA analyst and figure. What was it like growing up the son of a legend?
It was a blessing. It was 1,000% a blessing. I was able to get a master's education in the game of basketball and also in life. But just to get different viewpoints, different thoughts on the game, to be able to see the game in different ways, even if I didn't understand it, you know, for 18, 19, 20 years, I felt like my dad would ask me questions about basketball and I would answer it, but I wouldn't get the right answer. And I kept inching towards it. And, you know, when I knew I started to know about the game was when I was able to kind of have those conversations with them, because I had some really bad takes, Jim. I'm not going to lie. I had some really bad takes. But that was the biggest blessing, and him just letting me know, hey, all you have to do in this life is be yourself, be authentic, and the rest will take care of itself.
He was super, man. He was such a good dude. I would imagine, Steve, it's got to be a blast even to this day as you go around the league and you do your job and you do your work, then people stop you and probably tell you things like, man, your dad, he was the best. I mean, is that just a blast and a kick for you to hear still?
Honestly, it's the greatest part. As much as I miss him, to be able to know that the person he was to me, he had that impact on others, and to continue to hear those stories, it kind of fuels me and it warms my heart. So it's always great to hear that stuff.
I figured as much. That's cool to hear. Hey, Steve, really quick before you go, I'm older, so I'm curious, because you played at UNLV for a time, mm-hmm. and you were extremely well-respected there and beloved for your energy, for your effort, the way you got after it, because I came up when I came up. I came up in the glory days, man. I came up when they were in the Big West, and I went to UC Santa Barbara, and then I broadcast games, and, man, they would roll in, and I've told the story a million times. I don't even give a damn at this point that people are tired of hearing it. It was an awesome, awesome time. when Anderson Hunt and Greg Anthony and Mo Scurry and Grandmama rolled in there, it was like the Lakers. As somebody who played at UNLV, did you still feel any of that vibe? Did any of the guys ever come around the program?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The legends would come and they'd talk to us. You always felt it. It wasn't necessarily a pressure, but you knew you were chasing ghosts. I mean, you were the team in Vegas back then, and the team, the city wanted that. You know, they wanted to be able to have that pride, and you had to carry it on your shoulders. So, yeah, when you were able to hear from LJ, hear from Anderson, it would get you excited, and you go out there and try and do your best.
Man, those were fun times, and they played hard, dude. They played hard. I mean, we know they had game, they had talent, but they played hard. Both ends of the floor and defensively, they got after you. That amoeba defense that Tim Gergerich used to teach them, man, that was tough.
Very tough, very tough. And I think that's one of the things people, I think that Vegas loves glitz and glam teams. They like a team that gets after it and can get stops and make things happen. So it'll be interesting to see.
Dad Grit, he's an NBA analyst who played his college ball at UNLV and Arizona State, co-host of the Dunker Spot podcast, Steve Jones Jr. Steve, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Steve Jones Jr. joining us. All right, talking some NBA. Coming up at 11:40, Terrace Marshall Jr., NFL draft prospect. All right, so get in here. Phone lines are open. What do you want to hit? I've got baseball. I've got the Derby coming up this weekend. I've got the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. I've got a podcast to push out tomorrow. I've got open phones right now. If you want to take a shot at something totally different, go ahead. Silk Bra, a smack-off champ, wanted to come in, and he went in on CJ in the Bay. Would have got racked, but then played that stupid little game that he plays with Alvy and got him run. And Alvy plays along. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to go back to the very top of the program, what do you think the Niners do with that third pick overall? And you hear all this information that it looks more and more like it's Mac Jones. Two things. Number one, would they give up everything they gave up to get up to number three to take Mac Jones? We know Kyle Shanahan could take pretty much anybody. You know Shanahan thinks, I can take any quarterback and win with that quarterback. I can make it work. Whether it's Jones or Lance or Fields. But would they make that move? Would they give up all that draft capital to get up to number three to get Mac Jones? You keep hearing yes. Yes, that's who they're locked in. Locked in on. The more I hear they're locked in on that guy, the more I think maybe they're not. There's a reason why we're hearing it. So if you want to talk about that, what do you think they'll do with that third pick? Also, when we come back, remember Paul Pierce got blown out by the mouse. Had an all-time Instagram appearance. Got him fired by the mouse hours after he did it. He then seemed to suggest, it's good. I got this. I'm going to land on my feet. And apparently, he has. I want to get into where he ended up and where he goes from here. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. And then we are down to our last number of segments before the actual draft, which means I'm down to my last few opportunities to talk to draft prospects. Hey, Jim. Silk is known for his bland and slightly monotone OC surfer dude takes. Today's call was concerning. Silk Bra was damn near hyperventilating. Get it together, bra. Paul in SF. I mean, I don't know. Was he on a hill? Is he working movement into his call? Movement's good. Damn, Jimmy. Relay the message to Silk Breath to make his calls before power walking the local high school track on lunch break. The substitute game is hard, dog. Seth in Western Mass. Warsilk's wife buying him a Peloton so he can get his ass in shape. Rome, did Silk just run to the payphone and make that phone call? My God, dude, you're supposed to be in good shape since you surf 8 days a week. Matt in Poland Springs. Again, dude, how do you know he wasn't making that phone call from Peloton? Or a treadmill? Or an elliptical? Or a rowing machine? Or 8,000 feet up on a hike? Or maybe he is fat and out of shape. I don't know. Rome. Was Silk calling from the faculty bathroom? Dude was out of breath. Is it Taco Tuesday in the lunchroom? Dude, I don't know if he was pinching a loaf or working a mountain or what he was doing, all right? I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't concern me.
But let's not make that the subject of the call. BT Dub, Trapper would have loved that.
Hey, Jim, was Silk out of breath because he spent the entire morning counting his wife's money? Hey, Rome, did Reggie teach Silk how to breathe?
First off, Kyle preps Cal's beer for him like you would do for your wife or your girlfriend, you know. It's actually very sweet of him. Rome, honestly...
Honestly what, Reggie? Hey, Reggie, honestly, you're a disaster, dude.
You know I let you go like 5 minutes longer than I should.
The throat clears, the hyperventilation, the extreme nerves. I love how he was going to reset me with, hey, but Rome, honestly. No, Reggie. No, honestly, Reggie. You're horrible, dude. Romy, you rock, tweets. Tell Silk to wait 5 minutes after walking up a flight of stairs before he calls the show. Catch your breath, bro.
Romy, you rock.
Stucknut, quote, is Silk on a treadmill? I've answered this 10 different ways. I don't know. I don't know and I don't care. When we return, an update on the truth. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Nice to be with you. All right, now it's been said that if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Again, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. This is not an original statement by me. You've probably heard that before, right? And it sounds nice. Just marinate on that for a second. Marinate on that for 1 second while I get you caught up with one Pablo Anthony Pierce. You remember Paul Pierce, right? Of course you do. The question is, exactly what do you remember him for? That illustrious career, championship he won with the Celtics, or possibly getting wheeled off the floor in a chair while still maintaining two working legs? Maybe his ice-cold takes on NBA Countdown?
Ice.
Or maybe his Instagram Live of the decade, where he broadcast a soiree of gambling, booze, chronic, and strippers for the entire world to see. You know, the thing that ultimately cost him his gig there. I said it then, I'll say it again right now. It's not so much what Paul Pierce was doing, it's what he was doing and then showing everybody what he was doing. Like, you want to play poker, you want to get back rubs from near-naked women while burning a blunt and doing shots, by all means, you do you. Bet up, drink up, smoke up, rub up. It's America. You're an adult. You earn that right. Problem is, Mickey Mouse has got a very different set of standards. And the mouse don't take too kindly to one of its star employees getting faded with ladies of the night, twerking at his feet, and another one introducing herself to the camera.
Let me hear your accent. Say hi, accent. We've been to turkeys before.
Pretty much. Say hi, accent. Say hi, accent.
Let me hear your accent. Say hi, accent.
We've been to turkeys before.
We've been to turkeys before.
Say hi, accent. These are some incredible final words to walk off on as an ESPN employee. Because no less than 48 hours after that, a likely still hungover and or faded Paul Pierce was given his walking papers, which he may or may not have used to twist up another bleezy. Just kidding, Truth. Kinda. Anyway, after one of the all-time great implosions and totally preventable terminations that you'll ever see in sports media, Paul Pierce went right back on social, told everybody to stay tuned, and awkwardly laughed as if to tell us that he'd be just fine. I mean, still faded, still high, still drunk, allegedly, probably. It's a pretty awkward laugh, right? Or maybe he knew. It's been a few weeks, and I, for one, most assuredly did not stay tuned to the life happenings of Paul Pierce. But I do read the news, and according to the New York Post, Pablo dropped some hints yesterday about what might be next. Might it be CBS, Fox, Yahoo, Barstool, Meadowlark? Nope. Not even sports media. Hell, not even sports at all. My man appears to be headed into the weed game. Yesterday, Pablo Escobar Pierce posted a video of himself driving deep into the unmarked desert, which he called Area 51. In the next slide on his IG stories, Truth was filming a selfie-style video in front of rows and rows, a professionally grown tree, inside a Kron factory, which he referred to simply as the lab. So now Paul Pierce is a scientist who grows weed or something like that. He also said in the video, quote, coming soon. I don't think you need to be a genius to figure out that Paul Pierce has more than likely entered the cannabis space. Why else is this guy driving out in the middle of nowhere to show himself standing in front of hundreds of thousands of dollars of dro and saying, quote, coming soon? On top of that, he also appears to be working another vice angle. If you look at his IG profile, the link in his bio is for Bushmills Irish Whiskey. So, remember a minute back when I reset the old saying, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life? Paul Pierce appears to be doing what he loves for work, which means it's not work at all. A couple of weeks after getting toe-tagged for booze and blunts, he appears to be selling booze and blunts, or is about to be. Yeah, my man, why stop there? Now that vaccines are flattening the curve at a pretty amazing rate, and I'm even hearing that if you get both vaccinations, maybe you don't need to rock a mask, things like that. Soon the world will be returning to its old normal or close to it. That means strip clubs will be opening up once again the way they were. My man, why stop where you are? You're killing the game. Slap your handle on one of those. Open up a poker room in the back. Then you're hitting for the Pablo Pierce cycle. Who needs the mouse when you can get paid to sell dro, hooch, lap dances, and gambling? Paul Pierce may have left that NBA Finals game and ESPN in a wheelchair, but this guy has a way of standing up and running back onto the court like nothing ever happened.
Say hi, exit.
It's true, man. Some things do happen for a reason. Right when you think you hit rock bottom, right when you think you've bottomed out, is when you bounce right back. Man, some setbacks do prepare for a much bigger comeback. Look at this guy. And you thought that was a bad thing. And you thought that was an embarrassing thing. But you want to talk about falling forward. Man, that ain't work. Do what you love and it's not work. And you tell me, what does this guy love more than dro, hooch, strippers, poker?
from turkeys.
Imagine showing up every day to go to work to that. Oh, man, I got to roll my ass out of bed. To do what? Drink, get high, gamble, and hang out with strippers.
Strip club.
And not only that, he's his own boss. This guy could take all the vacations to turkeys he wants.
And turkeys. We've been to turkeys before.
Do you know why he takes so much vacation to turkeys? He gets so much vacation to turkeys.
And turkeys.
Dude, good work if you can get it. Best work if you can get it. Dro, hooch, strippers, and cards. Dude, where do I apply? When we return. One last segment, and I'm going to try again. I tried to do this yesterday. It didn't work out. I'm going to try again today. Terrace Marshall Jr., NFL draft prospect, is set to join us next. Before I do that, though, it is time to get you caught up. Every single bottom of the hour, we have... Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So for weeks, we've been getting ready for the NFL draft. I mean, weeks. And interviewing as many top prospects as we possibly can. The draft is coming up on Thursday. Finally, earlier today, we had top draft prospect Kyle Pitts. Yesterday, we tried to get to this player. We were unable to do so, but I got him today. He is a former LSU wide receiver, a national champion, 48 receptions, over 700 yards, and 7 touchdowns in just 7 games last year. 106 career receptions for over 1,500 yards, 23 TDs while at LSU. Tied for number 4 in school history in career TD receptions, and one of only 6 players in LSU history with at least 1,500 receiving yards and 20 TDs. In other words, he had a really nice career. The NFL draft gets underway on Thursday. We are joined by Terrace Marshall Jr. Terrace, great to have you on. How are you?
Man, I'm good. All is well. How are you doing?
Good, good. Same with me. Great to have you on. So the draft is now 2 days out. I got to ask, what's a normal day like right now for you? Are you hearing from teams or have things started to kind of go quiet?
I'm definitely hearing from teams. I've been hearing from them, you know, ever since Pro Day. A lot. So it's been a great process. It's been a fun process. And I'm just looking forward to these in 2 days.
All right. So I would ask you how you prepared physically for the NFL, but there is a story from a little while back where you were training so hard and so frequently that even your mom said, quote, son, we need to chill out. And your response was, Mom, I can't take a break because while I'm resting, I know the next man's working, end of quote. So where did that mindset come from?
Man, it just come from, you know, just being self-motivated. Just waking up every day, you know, knowing my purpose, knowing, you know, why I do it every day. So I just keep my drive going as much as possible. So I never want to stop working.
You know, it seems to me that if you've got that mentality, it's one thing to have that mentality when things are going well, but it's another thing to have that mentality when you have to overcome something. And the fact is, you're in the spot right now, and it's amazing because if we go back to high school, you broke your fibula, you dislocated your ankle in 2 places. It's the kind of injury that could actually end somebody's career. How were you able to come back from that both physically and mentally?
Oh, man, I give all the glory to God. Me and then my hard work, you know, to get back and push, you know, try to be back to my best self. I just, you know, stayed dedicated, you know, and just kept my head, you know, on the dream and just not worrying about, you know, all of the obstacles and stuff. So I just, you know, try to fight that off and just continue to keep grinding.
Terrace Marshall Jr. is my guest. I'm going to tell you something, though. It seems to me when you go through something like that and you go through something like that at a young age, I'm not really sure how you understood the things that you just laid out for me. As an example, your coach, Lawan Lotson, said that he broke down. He broke down, your coach, when he saw you got hurt. But when he spoke to you, you said, I'm good, coach. I'm good. It's not a big deal. This too shall pass. Again, that's a really mature attitude. How were you able to get to that place so quickly and get that perspective?
Man, just like you say, I mean, the things that I've been through, it's all about experience. I feel like I've experienced a lot, you know, thus far, you know, with my age. So, I mean, it's just all come with experience. You know, I feel like God, he put those obstacles in your life you know, just so you can learn. So just all glory to him, you know. Without him, I wouldn't be nothing. So, I mean, I just continue to strive every day to be my best self, and I'll just keep my head on the prize.
Hmm. Terrace Marshall Jr. joining us. The draft is coming up on Thursday. So I laid out your numbers. When you play wide receiver at LSU, then you're a part of a tradition of some great players, and you did put up numbers. What did you take away from your time at LSU and being a part of that great receivers room?
Well, I took away a lot, man. Definitely got better, you know, on the football field and as a person, you know, hanging around those guys, great personalities. We just made each other better. We made each other better competitors on the field. So, I mean, every day we was going at it, you know, competition. Iron sharp as iron. So, I mean, I can say I learned a lot. Definitely going to take it with me to the next level.
I've always loved that phrase, iron sharpens iron, and it does. Now, I want to say this, talking to you right now, obviously, you've got great humility, but I'm looking at the numbers that you put up, and from the outside, it seems to me, you tell me I'm right or I'm wrong, from the outside, it feels like maybe you still do not get the respect that you deserve and you have earned. Does it feel that way to you at all, and if so, does that motivate you?
Man, I just feel like, you know, wherever I'm at, that's where I'm supposed to be at. I don't really, you know, fall into all of the doubters. And the politics, you know, I just do me. I just be me every day. And, you know, cream rise to the top always. So, you know, in due time, they'll feel me. You know, I mean, it's just not meant for them to. Everybody's going to pick their side. So, I mean, I just, you know, continue to do what I do and just get better every day.
You just want to be where your feet are, right?
Yes, sir.
Terrace Marshall Jr. joining us. Yes, sir. All right, so you're coming off a year where you average more than 100 yards per game. It's not just that you do one thing. You can play inside, you can play out. How much pride there is there in that versatility and the fact that you can play both inside and out?
I take a lot of pride in it, you know, because, you know, similar guys that's my size, you know, can't do that. You know, a couple of guys can't do that. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, grateful to be able to be in that position, you know, to do that. I just, you know, I'm just comfortable. I feel like I'm comfortable inside and out. I look at it as you know, It's just offense. You're just running routes. The ball's going to come the same way, whether you're in the slot or not. So if you just have that competitive mindset, then you'll ball anywhere on the field.
I want to talk to you for a minute, Terrace, about your great uncle, the great, great Joe Delaney. He played for Kansas City, and I'm old enough that I remember him as a player, and I remember him as a guy. In 1983, he gave his life while trying to save three boys from drowning. When did you first hear that story of him, and what did he mean to you?
And I heard it growing up at an early age, you know, from 6 to 7, you know, from 5. You know, I've been hearing that ever since I was those ages. So, I love hearing about him. You know, every time that my family talk about him, they tell me that I remind them of him. So, I mean, I definitely feel connected to him in a way, and I'm just you know, getting this torch that he passed on to me. You know, he only played 1 year in the NFL, and then before he passed. So, you know, I'm just, you know, just continuing my legacy, my own legacy, and I'm also continuing his that he passed off.
I mean, he was such a beloved figure and such a great player. And as you point out, everybody in your family talks about how much you were like Joe. That is such amazing praise. Like, what's it mean to hear that praise and to hear yourself be compared to such a special person like Joe?
Oh, man, it's loving, man. I don't take it for granted, most definitely. I feel like my family support me to the fullest. And, I mean, I'm just doing it all for them and also for me and also for God. So, just, you know.
I appreciate your thoughts on that. He was a special, special guy. What a great player. Terrace Marshall Jr. joining me for a few more moments. You know, this isn't something you talk about, but it's something you live. As an example, people around the program at LSU tell stories about the times that you've cleaned up the locker room or the fact that you're the one to collect the balls after a session with the jugs machine and then you put the jugs machine back or that you just pick up the trash around the facility. When you're a star player, you don't need to do those things. So why do you?
Man, I just like to help people out, you know, in the best way possible, to put other people in better positions, you know, for their day. So I just, you know, I mean, that's just my mindset. Treat everybody good and treat everybody the same. You know, just make everybody feel important around the building wherever I'm at. So, I mean, that's just the way I live and how I move by.
You know, there's another motto, actually, that's important to you, and that's M2B. What does that stand for, and why is that something that is central to your story?
It says meant to be. And one thing that I live by is, you know, just everything happens for a reason. It's all in God's hands. So that's just the definition of it. It pretty much just correlates to everybody, every life, you know, on earth. That every situation that they go through is just meant to happen, and it's already written. You know, they're gonna overcome whatever they're going through.
I like it. All right, so at the very top of the conversation, I asked you, are you still talking to teams? And you said yes. So when you talk to NFL teams, what do you want them to know about who you are and what you bring to the team on the field?
I just want them to know that I'm, for one, just a smart student of the game, and two, that they can trust me, you know, that I'll be trustworthy enough to come on their team and dominate right away.
Let me ask you this finally, too. There's a lot of talk about you going in the first round. Is that something that's important to you to go in the first round, or is it more important to go to the right place with the right fit?
To me, it's more important to go in the right situation, you know, that's best fits for me. So, I mean, it's important for rookies, you know, to go into a good situation. So I just want to, you know, be put into the best situation and just get my foot in the door.
He is a national champion, and I laid out the numbers, tied for number four in school history in career TD receptions. The NFL draft is getting underway on Thursday. A former wide receiver with LSU, Terrace Marshall Jr. Terrace, great to have you on the show. Nice to speak with you. Good luck on Thursday, and we'll all be watching closely.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Appreciate you. And I appreciate you saying that, too. I like that, man. Good young man. Good character. Quote, I appreciate the opportunity. Always like hearing that. Great wide receiver from LSU, and they've had a number of them, too. So another big day as we get ready for the NFL draft. We had Kyle Pitts. We had Terrace Marshall Jr. Two more guys expected to go highly in the draft, and that's on Thursday. They had the draw for the Kentucky Derby. I mentioned that because I've got Eddie Olczyk joining me on the Jim Rome podcast. We push that out every single Wednesday, and that's actually a really good conversation. Multi-layered conversation because we'll talk ponies and pucks with Edzo. If you want to jump up in here at the last second, you certainly can. We had Jeff in Southfield with a really weird phone call. In fact, in case you missed it, it sounded kind of like this. You know, Jeff from Southfield. The next generation of pain protection is here. New 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating will provide up to 12 months of professional level protection, insane water beating, and jaw-dropping shine. With one simple application, just go to 303radio.com for more information.
Congratulations, Mark. The previous holder of that record is Stevie Carbone's job. Hey, Carbone, if it's true that you watch and write about The Bachelorette for a living, then it's true that you're a brain-dead idiot and a gossipy woman for a living. Way to go, champ. Hey, Steve, if your scandal with Demi Burnett ends up costing you your job, remember this. The job you're losing is the least important job in the history of everything. No job is more worthless. You can only go up from here, Steve. But, Steve, I do respect that you apologized, so let me do the same. Steve, I'm sorry for that time I called you and told you about my fantasy where you actually made a smack-off call that didn't suck. I realize now that that fantasy will never come true and that it was inappropriate for me to express that to you. Hey, Carbone, the only good thing you've ever done with your life is to answer the question, whatever happened to Jamone from Fast Times at Ridgemont High? The answer? He became you. Seriously, clones, look at their photos. Hey, Jim, I found out where Adam Hawk got his fake last name from. Turns out it's a contraction of the word Hallmark, which explains why he often sounds like he's reading some stiff Hallmark card.
I am producing this radio show, and I am very grateful to be doing that.
As for it, turns out the name Jarrett is the short version of the name Jarrett Hall. Wake up, old man! Jim, the saddest thing about this pandemic is that Ritt and his friends can't play bingo. Hallmark and Saratol. Sounds like the kind of softwood rock that Rick and Buffalo would like. Actually, if Rick sang for a pop band, it would sound like this.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert out.
Hi, good show, dude.
Y'all got so hung up on him taking that run, allegedly a trapper, that you lost track of Hallmark and Geritol. Amazing. Jeff in Southfield, a.k.a. Mike in Indy. I'm not buying that. My thanks to Kyle Pitts, Steve Jones Jr., Terrace Marshall Jr. Have an amazing day. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. We're out.